And that lamb sign on the base. So here we are, right, basically right in the middle of the daf. On Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, on Rav Yochanan. Hirashi sikua begefet ubeitzim. Mashina le atafshir shebishel kot zorcho, v'chamin shuchmu kot zorchan, v'afilu mitzamek v'yachelo. And so this seems to be a definitive psak, that if you have shihia, even if there was no grief of ikatima, even if you used the most difficult gefet v'eitzim type of fuel to be bought here, nonetheless, shehiya is mutar, even if it's mitstamek v'yafelo, so you have a cholent that you'd like to continue to cook, as long as it was properly cooked before Shabbos, and it's still beneficial to cook it more, it's okay. This is the ultimate Hananya psak. Amalei ahumi rabbana, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, upon hearing that psak, a certain Talmud asked Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, gosh, that sounds awfully makel to me. Rav Shmuel darmitarvayu, mitstamek v'yafelo asur. Didn't Rav and Shmuel both paskin that if you have something which is mitstamek v'yachalo, that it is not permissible? Now again, we mentioned yesterday that according to almost everybody, this is a psak shaluk kechananya, since he was talking about only something that was mabushal kemachal ben drusoy. However, the Balamor claims there's no problem, because he might have been talking about the amount at which it was cooked, the proportion, in other words, that it was cooked, one third towards what would be considered to be completely cooked. But that doesn't have anything to do with mitstamek v'yafelo. Something that's mitstamek v'yafelo may be indeed something that even Chananya would have asked if it wasn't yet completely ready. So there's not necessarily does it boil down to the same thing. This may also be a psak like Chananya. Omale, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda answered that Talmud. Otu leta na yada, you think that I don't know the Omer of Yezav, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, mitstamek v'yafelo asur. Obviously, there's a well-known psak of Shmuel that we can't be matir shehiya on eno goro fakotun unless it's a mitztamik v'ramo. But a mitztamik v'yofalo at Sholent, you wouldn't be able to be masha on an open kira. Ki kamina l'chol Rav Yochanan kamina. Why weren't you listening? Psak was said over the name of Rav Yochanan. We know that Shmuel is matir. Omle Ravuka Mimesha and Ravashi. Look, you guys, Atonda Makravita la Rav Shmuel, you live closer to Rav Shmuel. Avidak Rav Shmuel, you can be Machner the way Rav Yehuda quoted, Shmuel and Rav. And don't use something which is stomach for Allah. But Anan, Mavik Rav Yochanan. We guys live close to Rav Yochanan, we'll be happy to rely on Rav Yochanan's son. Omle Abayla Rav Yosef, Mahu Lishot, Omalei. What do you mean? Look, Rav Yehuda, Mashalei V'Ocha. Rav Yehuda is a pretty big machmer, and everybody used to put up cholent and stuff for him, and he would eat it. Oh, my, please, Barmenei, Rav Yehuda, bring me a raya, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is such a weak person, even in the Sukkanu. I mean, he needs to have his good cholent, obviously. Afilu b'Shabbat, nam yishar lebevad leiv. You could make it on Shabbos for him. He's holding all the time by bulmusin. I'm talking about normal people. Leave, alecha, mai. How about people like me and you? Omale b'surah mashah. I can only tell you that in surah everybody is mashah. Some take out the daha because Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak is brought as a separate riot that we pass in like Chananya. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak mori d'udahavi u'mashah imi'achah. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak was known to be very medactic la'alocha, and l'maisa he would eat something that had been put on an open kira that wasn't group of a ketuma before Shabbos and was b'tzamek v'yafalo, and he ate it. Now, based on this, really, Rashi and Tosfos both paskin like Chananya, straight across, which would mean that it would be mutter if you don't plan on putting back. There's no chazara problem. It would be mutter to simply leave things on the fire. You don't need a blech. You don't need anything. L'maisa, however, though both Rashi and Tosfos both see this from the sugya, it really boils down to how we understand the mitztamek v'yafalo problem to some extent, because since later on, the sugya seems to assume that there is, as we're going to see today, an iser in shehiyah without grief of the ketima. Because of that, the Rif and the Rambam paskin not like Chananya, and therefore, l'chatchila, one should be machmir, l'maisa the Shulchan Aruch paskin is like the Rif and the Rambam. The problem is that, as the early post can put it, Klal Yisrael is very machmir on good cholent on Shabbos. You know, they're very machmir on this. And so, as I told you yesterday, somebody asked it afterwards. Everybody heard it, I think. But it's the beautiful lashon of the Balamor when he takes advantage of the opportunity to make fun of the people who are like the Karoyim. They hold yet that cold cholent for Shabbos. And the way he puts it is so contemporary. The way he puts it is Bahamamin Yashmin. You know, when people say there's no diets on Shabbos, they have their marker in the Balamor. in any event. So because of that, so I said, no, Hanachlem Yisrael, they want to be so machmir on good shalom, you can't tell them it's us. But, I mean, Lemaisa, it's right to be machmir, not to, I mean, we are, but basically everybody uses a black and is basically not samech to have on a, ain't a group of the ketumah. So the black becomes our equivalent of group of the ketumah, even when we're not planning on putting it back on. For Chazorah, I mean, then already there's nobody that would be makel. I could tell you, I was actually eating Ravuna's house. They had left on the fire kasadar sana, which is a fish dip, very sharp fish dip. They had that mixed with brine and with flour. Now, he ate that. I'm not sure why he was eating it, whether he held loyadana imishu tikasava mitstamik v'yafalo mutar. I'm not sure whether he holds it, we go all the way, or we're matar even, a mitstamik v'yafalo. Or maybe he held the kiva to eat beimicha mitstamik v'ralo. Anything which is creamed using flour, he may hold as a mitstamik v'ralo, because ultimately it gets a hard crust, and it's not really good to leave it too long on the fire, so maybe that's what he was saying. I'm not sure.
Micha
is like what we would call creaming, using a flour base instead of a corn base. Amr of Nachman, mitstamik v'yafalo asur, mitstamik v'ralo mutar. Look, bottom line is, if it's something that you desire to continue to cook, so then you can't leave it on an open fire. If it's mitstamik v'ralo, then it's not a problem. Kolola de milt, in terms of determining what is considered to be mitstamik v'ralo, what is considered to be mitstamik v'yafalo, called to eat v'micha mitstamik v'ralo, anything that's creamed is definitely a mitstamik v'ralo, because it ends up being sourish and flaky on top. No. That's called mitstamik v'ralo, that there's a point where you don't want it to stay on the fire. That's a mitstamik v'ralo, and you're talking about how much it was busher. Levar mitavsha, the lifta, the only thing that can keep cooking forever, even though it has the kemach in it, is turnip stew. The apagav, the eat be'micha mitstamik v'yafalo, but that's only if it's mixed with meat. So if you've got, this is boy, a heck of a cholent, let me tell you. A turnip-based cholent with pieces of meat in it, mixed with flour, well, we got to try this. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound tasty, but you never know. That's right, that's right. I mean, did the Irish ever try turnips? That's the question. Avalet be'bisra mitstamik v'ralo. Imagine, it's true, you know. It's a revolution in Jewish cooking potatoes. We never thought about it. Who's going to give on making a potato? And furthermore, even if it has meat in it, if you need it for guests, then you don't want it to keep cooking or cooking, because when it keeps cooking and cooking, the meat tends to disappear. So what are you going to serve your guests, basically? So that then it would already be called a mitstamik v'ralo.
If the size shrinks up,
it's not that it shrinks up, it's that the meat tends to just sort of disappear. It falls apart and it becomes like an acholic that's been cooking a very long time. You know, what happened to the meat? That really just turns into small, tiny pieces and mixed together with and so on. Well, we're talking about for us plebeians, you know. We don't start off with half a size.
That's a
chili. Never consider the factor of not the battery itself that we're looking at, but the person.
You could have the same thing, which under certain circumstances is yafalo, and certain circumstances is ralo. So it's not low, it's low. Interfering? To some extent. I mean, it could be, we'd say, butler daita. If you don't like it, you don't like it, what do you want? One of those watery cholets? And that's butler daita? Who eats that?
So low, ralo is the person or the food itself?
Not really. I mean, it would have to be more or less standardized. You can't say nothing. That's a butler shirin totally, but kaboy lorkin is an objective thing. Now, lifta daisa v'tamri, just give you some examples. We don't make this anymore, as far as I know, but this was a fig stew that you would leave on the fire. I've never seen anything like that. Daisa, of course, is in what we call a hot cereals. And tamri, okay, and the same thing is tamarim, also it's a date kind of stew. Those are all called mitstamik v'ralahin. You know, it'd be a great idea to put out a cookbook of Talmudic cookbooks.
Yeah.
Barnea, this is something for your neighbor.
Restaurant.
Listen, the Haredi population of Yerushalayim is such that this would be a whole new reason to go to a restaurant. And of course, for those people who aren't interested in new dishes, we'd have garbage on the side. No. That's only a few idiots. So now that we've decided what we've decided, which is whatever it was, there are some cases which are going to be us. Now, whatever those cases are, what's the deal if you were shocheach and you cook? Shocheach kidera agadi kira ubi shlabi shabbat mav. So in other words, okay, according to Tosus, who holds that we're poskening like Hananya, so Tosus says, look, we're asking, I mean, even according to Hananya, if it wasn't cooked, Kamaichal Ben Rasoi. So according to him, it would also be Osir. So that would be the case. However we work out the cases, there's a case of Isir, for Shehiya, what would be the din if somebody, Lamaisa, ended up leaving something in an open fire? It cooked on Shabbos. So what would be the deal? Tosus, by the way, points out that we had all the way back in the first parak the fact that it doesn't seem to be a problem to have something cooked on Shabbos at all. That was the all of those cases that we had about the Ozark. He likes it to be meeker.
So,
we're not using this because we're on the first mission. Wait till the next mission. Then you'll worry why we have Sanoris and Kupa. Anyway, so even though we have that case, it seems to be from the first parak. There was no problem with cooking things on Shabbos because he said over there, if the pot was all of meat that hadn't been cooked at all, or if you're cooking the gedi, well, all the cases that we had, how come like we never even worried about any of this? All of a sudden, we're worried about the nifnikim of Asher, whether it's a shema yachta be gecholim, like we're ignoring the whole sugya. So this is very important yisod over there, that there's a fundamental difference, this is a response to Moshe Baruch's question, there's a fundamental difference between a tanur and a kira. Where you have a tanur, the heat of a tanur, remember, we're not talking about our tanur, we're talking about their tanur. Their tanur was made out of porcelain, it was wide at the bottom, held its fuel inside of it, had a very small opening on top, because it came up on an angle to the top, and therefore it would retain its heat for a very long time. And there was, surprisingly, so there's less of a chashash of shema yakta when you're dealing with a tanur, because you're not worried about it. It stays hot. And therefore, there's no, there's none of these gezeiros, which include the yakta b'gecholim. In Mashenken, we have a kira. I mean, a kira is considered to be sholik ba'avira, also. Another issue we had before, remember, we were trying to bring a ryalismo. The kira, you have something on top of the kira. It's hard to keep something on top and it's all exposed to the air. There's certainly a greater chashash over there of shema yakta than there is in something that's in a tanur. So surprisingly, the thing which is hotter actually has aspects in which we will be more makel, because we have a less of a shash of shema yachta. That's a izbachalik between all the early cases that we had. So here, when you're talking about agavi kira, you left it on the kira, mevashel b'shabbos, what's the din? Ishtik v'lo abar agalabidi, he didn't answer him at that time at all, didn't respond. L'mochar nafak darashlu, the next day he gave a drasha, which he quoted the Mishnah, that says, mevashel b'shabbat, b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. Somebody who cooks on Shabbos, of course this is talking about cooking b'maisa, not b'shehiya, but on Shabbos proper, you can eat it if it was done b'shogeg, and b'mezid, you can't eat it. Of course over there, remember the Gemara had a three-way machlokas, the difference between him and others, the difference between eating it on Shabbos, or eating it if they shiyat, or liyaka Shabbos, but that's not our problem right now. Our problem is the way he ended his quote. And he ended it with two very mysterious words. Veloshna. And there's no difference in this case. Now, no difference in what? So, because is it no difference in that b'mezid, it's considered to be, that it's usher, or it's no, in this case, it's no difference, and it's the same as if it was b'shogeg. We're saying, here it's no different. There's three ways to understand it. Here it's no different, meaning here it's no different than the b'shogeg. Here it's no different than that case, therefore there's a difference between b'shogeg and b'mezid. Here it's no different, and it's all like b'mezid. Meaning what? So Rav and Rav Yosef both held that he was saying Lehetera. He was saying, here there's no difference between Shogeg and Mesa, there's all Mutter. Why? Because Mevashel Hu, the Ka'avid Mesa, only where he's actually cooking on Shabbos, and did something on Shabbos. Over there we have the Chumrah of the Mezid Lo Yochal. Mashenken over here was left for before Shabbos. Avol Hai De Lo Ka'avid Mesa. Here you didn't do anything on Shabbos, even the Mezid Yochal, even if it was left on purpose, we didn't Aser it to be the Avad.
It wasn't Shabbat.
There wasn't
Shabbat. Even if it wasn't Shabbat, it would still
be he wasn't addressing their question. He was giving a drasha. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, on the contrary, he was saying, here lo shana, meaning li sura, that only where you went ahead on the din of bishol, if we're going to be matir bishol b'shogeg, b'diavad, nobody is going to cook on b'mezid and claim it was b'shogeg, so you can eat it. People don't cook on Shabbat. But when it comes to the Yisr of Shehiyah, where people say, hey, give me these chumras, please, and I say, oh dear, I forgot it, I left it on the open fire, but it's okay, it wasn't on Shabbos, right? So therefore they're going to be Atila Rume. A couple of places we have this. In places where you have to be makhid on how people will utilize your heter, and they'll be marim, so they'll try to fake you out that it was really done b'shogeg. There we're not matir b'shogeg. So we end up being more machmer on shehiyah, which is the rabbanon, than on bisho, which is the araisa. Because we're not worried that people are going to come to kuf b'mezin on Shabbos.
But osid larume is more likely people.
People are always having
rabbanon.
Yeah.
It's like the feeling in that temple
store.
The woman is so clear, so
inwardly
separated. A little bit. Can I go over the amazing section? I'm sorry, I'm just a little
unclear. But you want to know how far you can go constantly. I think you should try to understand after review. It's always better.
Isn't it good to understand it before?
No. Nobody understands something the first time. I mean, imagine going through life only once. When will he come back, Richie? You never know. Keep him going for 5 years. Basically, Shachach Kedera Agave Kira Ubishalah Bishabat Bishogeg Yochal B'meziv Lo Yochal. Somebody leaves something on the fire and he now continues to cook. He cooks on Shabbos. So here it says, it depends. Depends. Nobody said it depended. Is yet a third option in understanding. Because Rabbi Yosef was saying it was Lahatera. Rabbi Nachman was saying it was Lisura. And here, Brayta says it depends. So if it was B'shogeg Yochal, B'mezid Lo Yochal. B'me Devarim Amurim, B'chamim Shalo Huchumu Kol Tzorchan, V'tavshir Shalo Bishel Kol Tzorchan. Aval Chamim Shuchumu Kol Tzorchan, V'tavshir Shalo Bishel Kol Tzorchan. Ooh, Ben B'shogeg, Ben B'mezid Yochal. Oh boy, we're getting back to our original confusing machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see how this plays out. Rabbi Meir, who was the one who said, from what I recall, early on in this sugya, he was the one who was, he said before that according to Beis Hillel, you can't even use tavshil at all. You can't put tavshil back. Right? Only, not back, it'd be masha. Back, and I can't do anything. But to leave something, to be sure, you can always leave hot water. So over here, Rabbi Meir seems to be contradicting himself and saying that if you've got a tafshil that was all the way cooked, then it's okay. But he was the one that answered. B'chalal sheyeh for tafshil. Cooked, not cooked. He held tafshil, you're not allowed to be masher. Remember Rabbi Meir Shita? No chazora at all, even according to Beit Hillel. And according to Beit Hillel, you could be masher, but only chamin, hot water, not tafshil. According to Beit Shammai, you can't do anything. You can't be masher, chamin, or tafshil. Very, very makri. Now here he's coming out and saying that as long as it was mevushal kol tzorchan, you'd be allowed to eat it, did Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, chamin shulchamut kol tzorchan mutarim, mipnei shemitztamek v'ralo, if it was fully cooked, hot water, what do you want? Your water to boil out. Why would you want your water to boil out? So that's a mitztamek v'ralo. You don't want to keep the water boiling, you just want to keep it hot. So therefore, if it's tamek v'ralo, there would be no problem. Tavshil, however, should be shel kol tzorchan asur, mipnei shemitztamek v'yafelo. You can't, however, if you cook the tavshil, there it's going to continue to cook, you're going to be happy with it because it's cholent. But chol ha-mitztamek ve'afelo, kikam kruv, upolim, ubasa taruf, anything which you would like to continue to cook, ubasa taruf, we say since you've cut it up into small pieces, you've diced it. So you certainly don't want it for orchim, and therefore there's no reason why you wouldn't want it to continue to cook. Then it's asur, chol ha-mitztamek ve'ralo mutar. Oh my gosh. So he contradicts himself also. Before he said a tafsha should be shakot tzorcha was okay l'chatchila. Well, what's going on over here with Rav Yehuda? There's a problem. Okay, but we'll get to that later. But getting now to what concerns us. Katani mia, look, it says over here, I mean, tafsha shalot b'shakot tzorcha. I mean, I don't know. You might be able to say that even though Rav Nachman, he was the one who said that, I think, both of these surah, when he said lo shana. And here it says clearly that b'shakot it was mutar. So you could say, according to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, maybe it's not a problem because, as we're going to see, there was a gzeira that was made later in which there were machmer on people who had been showing. So maybe kan kodim gzeira, kan liachar gzeira. I mean, he was talking about Rav Nachman both liyisura. He was talking about liachar gzeira. Maybe this bright over here was talking about before the gzeira. But, I certainly don't understand. According to Rabbi Rav Yosef said that it was mutter. So, I mean, if it's kodim gzeira, so then the mazid is certainly a problem, because here it says mazid is usher, even before the gzera. If it's after the gzera, it's for sure a disaster. Then even shoking is a problem. They should both be usher. I mean, well, I don't understand what's going on over here.
What is it called,
mevashel? What's the issue? Because I'm cooked. It's an issue that we're saying. It's not really, really mevashel, obviously. So, says the gemara, okay, kasha, you're right, it's a problem. a problem. It doesn't seem to be going like Aliba, Reb Nachman, and or at least certainly not like Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. But what were you referring to when you talked about a gzera? My gzera. And originally the halacha was v'hu adin l'shocheach. It was not afkamina between a shocheach on a open kira, and someone who's mavasha. Misha rabu mashin v'mezid v'omim shechochim anu. After it became clear that a lot of people started v'dafka leaving it on the fire, and then when somebody would mention, said, "Oh, I forgot." And then there was no consequences because it was mutter, if you forgot. So they made a knas. Chazru v'kansola shocheach. They made a knas that someone was shocheach, it will be awesome. Okay, so in other words, bottom line is that we are now indeed more mad, the way Reb Nachman was saying. But getting back, by the way, to the quote you just had from Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda at the end of this braita, it's a contradiction to what they said before earlier in the parak. Kasha Rabbi Meir, other Rabbi Meir. Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, other Rabbi Yehuda. I understand. Rabbi Meir said before that according to Rabbi Meir, you're not allowed to cook, to leave on a fire, even a leave at a Beis Hillel, even on the goruf. You can't leave a tafshil at all. And over here, he's saying a tafshil, shabishal kol tzorcho, it's mutter. And it's kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda also. I mean, before Rabbi Yehuda said, chamin v'tafshil is mutter l'chachila. And here he says, it's also the tafshil. And I don't understand. The Rabbi Meir had the Rabbi Meir lo kasha v'lek. It's not really a problem. I mean, look, before the question was, what is Beit Hillel matir up front? I mean, here we're talking about somebody who was shokheya. That's a b'diavad. What are you asking me? I mean, a person, he meant to take it off. He left it on. So, if it's a case in which the person forgot it, so he's saying that even though, I'm sticking with my psak. You're not allowed to leave it. Fine. But if you did, it's mutar. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, he didn't explain over here what we're talking about, the case of Isser. Obviously, in all of these examples, we're looking for a case where somebody did something that he wasn't supposed to do. So what's your problem? You can't figure out a case that something he wasn't supposed to do. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Shehiyah. Remember, how did he learn the Mishnah? The way our first option was to learn the Mishnah. That the Reish of the Mishnah was talking about Shehiyah and was demanding for Shehiyah Gurufa V'Katuma. No, sir, fine. So this case is talking about where it wasn't Gurufa V'Katuma. There's a case, according to everybody, where it's going to be Yosef. If it's Aliba de Hanania, if it wasn't cooked enough. If it's Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, if it wasn't Garufa Kato. If it's Aliba de Rabbi Meir, it was Tafshel and not Hanania. Whatever the case is, according to everybody, we're asking, in that case, what would be the halacha? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's referring over here to a case where it wasn't Garufa Kato. So what's the din of Bidiyavad? I did what I wasn't supposed to do. What does that have to do with Rabbi Yehuda's psak earlier that it's Mutla Chatchila on a Garufa Kato to leave Tafshel? Obviously, because it was Garufa Kato. So the Rasha, Tan de Grufa Uktuma. Kan b'she'ina rufa uktumar. Okay. Hibaylo. Avar v'sha'a. Might. What would be the din over here if somebody went ahead, b'dafka, b'mezid, and he left it on? Mikansu rabbanon olo. Did the rabbanon give a knas to answer this to him? Totally? Or not? Tashma diyom rishvu barnas nomer Rabbi Chanina. Kishahalach Rabbi Yossi litzipori. A place in Barnea's neighborhood. Matzar chamin shenishtahu aga bikira. No, it was never rich.
This is
what's going on. Talking about a place in your neighborhood. I don't think it's the Avedina. But it's not your neighborhood. You don't talk about it as if it's your neighborhood. You don't mention every 3 minutes what happened in Tzipori last millennia. That's the difference. It's obviously a difference.
When David told me the Torah course, it was in Beit Shemesh, we're doing the message something else. I dismissed it. Like, it's so impossible. They bamboozled a little bit of something. And I just didn't believe it. I just blocked it. Then 2 years later, when I got this, is unbelievable. It's
very cool.
And he never loses it, huh?
It's very cool being surprised, especially learning.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. So anyway, when Rabbi Yossi went to Tzipori, he found that people had left Chavish and Shtala Agabeki Rabbalo Asalahan. He didn't answer it even to the people who did it. He found beitzim mitzumakot shenishtahu agabikira, but that was hot water. But then he found eggs that had been left cooking for a long, long time. Shrunken. That he answered them. So apparently there was a knas, that if you leave something, now, I mean, it implies that it's a mitzvah v'yafalo. Because, I mean, that would be the case of us, which is strange, because eggs, leaving eggs aren't...
Local delicacy.
We're about to see. So, my love, loto Shabbat. In other words, he said to them, you're not allowed to eat this. And they couldn't eat it, they have to leave it. No, it doesn't mean they're not allowed to eat it. He answered them from doing it. He said, Shabbat, Abai said, don't do it again. That's the point. Not he answered them from eating it. Ask his untahe, don't do it again. Wait a minute, are you saying the Beitzim Mitzumakot or Mitzumakot via Felema? It's a nice idea to keep boiling up eggs. Oh, absolutely, says the Gemara. And the Omer Kama Bar Chanina. Let me tell you something, man. Forget about Shabbos. It wasn't Shabbos. I, Rebbe, once came to a particular place. They had this delicacy. They would leave eggs cooking for weeks. The thing had shrunken so much that it was like a tiny ozardin. I don't know how big an ozardin is. A quince. What is an ozardin?
It's a wild berry.
Anyway, all right. It's a little berry side eggs. And let me tell you, Achal Mamiyam Harvey, he ate an awful lot of them. That was a 40,000 calorie dinner, and not to mention the cholesterol, forget about it. But in any event, Hamamin Yashmin, it was good. And if it was good, why is it Nagev was good? To tell me it's Mitzvamik Vyafala. So clearly, Beit Zibar is considered to be Mitzvamik
Vyafala. Another porch fest recently in the world.
Yeah, we had the fest of the Perot of the of Ginosar. Beit Yilel Amrim Af Machzir. So, according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel Omri, Af Machzir. Om Rav Sheshes pointed out that if you hold, you can be Machzir. Now we're getting into some very serious contemporary issues of putting your cholent back on the pot. And how do you take stuff out of the cholent while it's cooking? And so on and so forth. Now, these are the questions that have to be raised. Is it a two-poland operation? One guy to hold the cholent, and one guy to remove the contents of the cholent. You got to put it back in, and so on and so forth. So, says now, Aliba, the Beis Hillel, says Rav Sheshes, when you say you can put it back on, it means you can put it back on even on Shabbos. Now, of course, this is very strange, because Rashi learned that that's all the question was in the first place. So, obviously, we're talking about putting it back on. What else do you mean? Putting it back on a Tuesday? So Tosfos says, aha, you see, I'm right, that the whole issue was, the main issue was, on Erev Shabbos, whether you could put it back on. Mm-hmm. This is saying you can also put it back on Shabbos. Says Rashi, no. The whole thing was about Shabbos. There's no problem of putting something back on before Shabbos. According to Tosfos, is a problem of maybe finding it uncooked and cooking up and be chayish. The problem over here, says Rashi, is it means even Shabbos daytime. What's the difference, Shabbos daytime or Shabbos nighttime? Richie, I thought a lot would really perk you up.
Where's
the diving.
Diving where else?
Richie, what happened? Oh, no. It's opening that wallet so many times.
I could decide.
And you notice he's holding it upside down. It's always a bad sign.
I see.
Really? Well, I mean, I saw it, but
All right, a business trip. So, it says Rashi, the difference is this. When you take a cholent off the pot on Shabbos, it does not look like you're going to put it back on now, does it? I mean, you eat your cholent, it's all over. So, maybe I would think that the Shehi has Batla. Now, of course, in Rashi's terms, Hatmana has Batla. It's very cold because Hatmana is here. But Batla la Hatmanata, or Batla la Shehi Yata. Now, this is very Nogel Allah, because we know that when you do something that it shows that you've been misalak your dot from the thing, so you take your cholent, you put it down. Once you put it down, as we're going to see, there really are problems of putting it back on. So what Rashi is saying is, when you take a cholent off on Shabbos day, you might have thought it's the equivalent to putting it down. Because there would be no reason for you to put it back on. How many people eat cholent for Sudash Mashiach? So therefore, he's coming to tell me, Mavir is afil b'Shabbat, meaning even Shabbos in the day. Sisters, come on. I mean, then it should have said, afil b'yom. What do you mean, afil b'Shabbat? If all along we were talking about Shabbat, I don't like that Shabbat. So write it to me that actually the difference is chol, Erev Shabbat. Remember, the Rabbeinu Tam earlier had said, what would that shiur be? The shiur in which it would still be possible to cook up. If you can't cook it up from room temperature, then it's already too late to be Mavir. Okay. But in any event, there's another example of that machloket. Rav Oshia Sabah, Hafbachzir now filu b'Shabbat. Rav Oshia also holds you can be Mavir b'Shabbat. Yom Rav Oshia pa'amachat. Ayinu omdim le'ilam Ruchia Rabba. We were once basically learning from Ruchia Rabba. Ve'eleinu lo kumkumus shelchamin. Let me tell you, he was upstairs. We brought him a kettle of hot water that had been on the blech downstairs. We brought it all the way upstairs. Midyuta tachtonu v'diyuta aliyona. And mazagnu lo atakos, we poured him a cup of tea.
And he Chazarnu l'mikomo, we brought it back downstairs and we put it on the fire.
Isn't this in the stomach?
No, this is water. The stomach of a rama. Yeah, but fine. Whatever the case is, that you're allowed to be mazir. But it, apparently it's mazir afilu b'shabbos. V'lo amalona davar, he didn't say a thing. So apparently it's okay. Okay, so in other words, clearly it means on Shabbos as well. Amr Zvik, Amr Abab, Amr Tadoi, after whom they've named the stadium. Lo shana ala sha'odan biyado. This is dafka if you don't put down the kettle. If you put that kettle down on the ground, forget it. Then it's usher. Omri abami, I like to be machmir on things. Nobody agrees with him about that. You can put down the kettle, you can still put it back on the fire. Even if you set the kettle down, you can put it back on the fire. There's a machlokis over here, both quoting Rabbi Elazar. One said, Odan biyado mutar agave karka asur. If you're holding the kettle, you can put it back on the fire. But if you set it down on the ground, you can't. V'charomar anichan agave karka nami mutar. The other one said, the way he remembers the halacha from Belezer, is that if you put it down on the ground, you can still put it back on. Omar chizkia mishmei de abaye, hodi amrit, odan biyado mutar. When you say that as long as you're still holding that kettle in your hand, you can put it back on the blech, lo amrin ela shadat, tola achzir. It's only if you took it off originally with the intent of putting it back on. Avalein ba tola achzir. If, however, originally you took it off without intent to restore it, asur, which implies, the way that you just said it, which implies that if you set it down on agave karka, then even if you had that tola achzir, it's asur. Because here we're limiting even the case where you're holding it in your hand, saying if you're holding it in your hand and it was dai tola achzir originally, then it's okay. So in other words, you need both issues to be
if you put on the ledger, you let go.
Right. But once you let go and you set it down, then it wouldn't help to have in mind to pick it up and put it back on. Now there's another lashon that is not so machmir, and in that lashon Chizkiah quoted Abaye saying, when you said that you're not allowed to put it back on if you let it down on the ground, that's only if you didn't have in mind to put it back on, because then the setting it down is a siluk and it's bottle your original hatmano or shehiyah. About the atola achzir, if however your intent was always to put it back on, then even if you had set it down, it's mutar. In which case we have the opposite implication. That if you still were holding it, even if your intent originally had not to put it back on, it would be mutar. So we have two very different ways of looking at this. Either one or the other. Sad to be matir. It doesn't look like you completed the vittel of your original shehiyah. Or you wasn't really a vittel. Either one is okay. That's one approach. The other is just the opposite. You need to have not done any act that implied that you had been the vittel of the original shehiyah. And you had to actually intend all along that you should continue to be maj. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, all of this...
Up to what point? That's what that is. I mean, you
take hold. It doesn't matter. No, that depends on, you mean, if you're moderate?
No, you have in mind to put it back.
Has nothing to do with, then has nothing to do with, Richie, okay?
Yeah.
Oh. Has nothing to do with Karka.
No, so you have in mind to put it back.
See, but forget about Karka.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's not the issue. The issue is up until what point of heat are you allowed to put
it
back? Yeah, so that's a different question. That concerns Bishalach and Bishal, the Dover Lach, which we spoke about earlier. And it needs to be Nikar. Some element of heat needs to be Nikar in it. It needs to be hotter than room temperature.
Not,
once it hits room temperature, then the original Bishal is no longer Nikar.
But it doesn't need to be insulated.
No.
Put a soup back on.
No. How long are the mice? I mean, again, we're not, you know, there's obviously my focus on the issue.
Put a soup back on?
Liquid.
Is mutter?
What do you mean? No. Assuming that you've handled all the other problems. The question was temperature-wise, which the Gemara isn't dealing with at all.
Once the fire went out of your house, you wouldn't pop another house. I remember seeing you put your hand on the pot, like, not the gentleman.
No, there's a whole different question. There's a situation in which, if it's your Iker food for Shabbos, and this is the food that you have, that you're, as long as it's still hot,
so
that's not a liquid.
At this point?
Yeah, but that's not a liquid. That was referring to something that needed to be yatzoletesbo. So from there, it was yatzoletesbo. So you can, in an emergency, put it on another. If you weren't misalik
yatzoletesbo. So the temperature that you were looking for was
yatzoletesbo. So how the amad agabi karka asr? Oh, sorry. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. All of the cases. Oh, all is, and that's the next question. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. The case that you mentioned was an extreme. Sit it down, ala karka means it's over. I suppose tal'an b'makel, ma'u. How about if you don't just set it down the way you would put away your pots and they would put things on the side on the floor and that was it? But how about if you didn't do that? You hung it up on something. You put it on a counter, on a bed, I mean, certainly that's not where you intend to leave it. So over there, it's somewhere between a bitl of your, complete bitl of your hatmana, or your shiya, literally suspended on a makel. So what would be the din? Bar Ravashi, pinan, mimecham lemecham. And what would be the din if you put it in a different pot? You took the hot water out of this kettle, you put it into another kettle. Is that, nothing to do with cliche, it has nothing to do with anything. It's nothing to do with temperature issues. Question over here. Makes no difference. It's a non-issue. We're not talking about cooking here. We're talking about chazara. The question of a klivisha and a klisheni has to do when there's a problem of bishul. There's no problem of bishul here. Only question is on chazara. There's no bishul, it's not chayak bishul. You have something that's already cooked and it's cooking. You can't re-cook your boiling hot water from your kettle. The only question is, will you mevatel your hatmana? As a matter of fact, Tosus points out that if anything, that's more matir. Because the Gemara later on says, in Bamet Tomnim, that if you put it into another mecham, that's actually mutter. Because then it's not seen as a re-hatmana on Shabbos. So, okay, he obviously is he's mechalik between hatmana and shihiyaga bekira. But our issue here is not temperature. I keep stressing this. We're not dealing with a problem of bishul. We're dealing with a problem of mechzik mevashel or chashat chitui and so on. So you're doing things that are similar to bishul. Okay, the rabbanan asked that even those terms are vague terms when it comes to the dinim of hatmana and shihiyah. Because as I pointed out, we're dealing with many factors that we're trying to balance. It's very difficult to give an absolute weight to each one of these factors, particularly since the values of the parameters are also, in themselves, not zero or one. There's a lot of different issues, even within the parameters themselves, that the values need to be carefully measured. How you put them together is overall a general sense of what the Rabbanan felt is considered to be too similar to Bishul and would lead ultimately to a bitul of Hakpara Ninyanim of Bishul, rather than dealing with a particular case-by-case situation. This is an exact gezerah, which is this and this. We find very often gezerahs of that type. We attempt as much as we can to give a reasoning. But even in a particular case with a reasoning, that particular reasoning doesn't hold, the overall sense of what we're trying to avoid is still clear. And then, okay, the question is, what, you know, how far to take it? You see that the poskim deal with the issue in this way. Because the question of snif means to use an argument in a balance of a halakhic judgment, which we'll often do, let's say, where we won't paskin like a particular shiva. But osimoto snif, in other words, assuming that you have another issue to be matir or to aser, and there's a lot of other factors, throw it into the pot. So we throw things into a pot and coming out with a judgment in which all around will be makel, or all around will be machmir. And this bishul has a lot of those issues in it, in which it's roi lachmir lechatchila, let's say, not to do like kananya. The minig is that people are makel, but in a case where, let's say we were talking about the oven issue, you know, yesterday, putting it back in an oven. You said, I mean, those that are matir, you asked yesterday, those that are matir. And those that are matir, you know, they're talking about, first of all, utilizing shitas that hold it bichlav, if something doesn't have a top, there's no difference between a gav and a tzvi. Okay, we don't paskin like that, but we can throw it in, you know, and the difference between our tanurim and their tanurim is akshem and achom and so on. And you come to a conclusion about these issues. As in any horah, it's a judgment call. So when it comes to bishul, again, we find Rashi even throwing around, well, it's a shema yachta, inami, it's mechzik mevashel, or it's similar to hatmana. I mean, which one do you mean? I mean, give us a clear-cut check. What are you saying? I mean, if it's not shay chitui, why are we worrying about chitui and so on? Right? And this is no game, let's say, we're talking about how much do you have to be gorev? And if you tell me you have to be gorev, how can we rely on din kotein? I mean, gorev, if gorev means completely, taking it out, which many shitas hold. We'll see in today's Yerushalmi, actually, interesting. So then how could Katima be enough? I mean, Katima is nowhere near the same as Grifa. They're dealing with two separate issues, aren't they? Katima is an actual siluk in your mind of the whole thing. So since it's not Michzi Kimavasho, we'll be making on that. Grifa is dealing with not the Michzi, but rather the Chashin Lechitur. So over there, well, I mean, so you see, we'll go away for a little bit. So what does that have to do with it? You may still come to be Kota. If you want to talk about grief and you're only dealing with the question of Shema Yachta, then you better get rid of everything. Because otherwise there'll still be a charge of Shema Yachta. You see what I mean? So then why with Katima are we afraid? Because you're left essentially with Remet. So what happened to the Shema Yachta over there? We deal with the separate things as if they're separate. So it's just, I've done something and I dealt with it in a Bechzik of Avash. Fine, thank you. I've dealt with something and now there's no longer Shashachit. Fine, thank you very much. There's a fundamental difference between grief and Katima Bechlal, isn't there? So the fact that we use Eino Gorev, Eino Kotum all along to be fine, even in the Mishnah, already puts you on guard. You start thinking, wait a minute, those are two different things.
One deals with one issue and one deals with another issue. So if Rashi brings both things, these are the things in which you'll never find a clear-cut explanation in the Mefarshim. Because there isn't meant to be. That's the point. And there are issues where we'll be makban on one element and issues where we'll be makban on the other element. That's b'chlal part of what Horo is all about. When it comes to being Mefarish and Mishnah, we're not going to be Mefarish and Mishnah in a way that will allow a Talmud to really deal Horo'ah. The Paskin, the way people do nowadays from the Shulchan Aruch, is XY, okay, put that together, 2XY minus 3, even. That's not the way halacha works. So where you get into something of this complexity of Kira, where any idiot sees how many different factors there are, how many different ways there are to evaluate each one of those factors, it becomes very clear there's no simple solutions. That's all. And you're not gonna be able to paskin issues of Kira out of a Shulchan Aruch book, unless you've got a book that covers every single possible variation, and then you're not using your mind at all. You have no idea what you're doing. You're following a formula. You can do that. But l'maisa, inam aras chasid, and that's still true. You'll never have a sense of what you're doing. Well, we saw already that we asked things with Atila. That was early on. We had this question. I think it was Scott who asked this question. Why, when it comes to the Bein HaShemashos issue, don't we view it as a suffix Rabban and Mamash? Right? That was you who asked it. Because if Bein HaShemashos is a suffix, so deal with Bein HaShemashos as a suffix Rabban and Bichlal. Clearly, I mean, that to my part, speak out clearly. There's an afkamina between a gezerah that is made on something. I mean, some give simple terutzim in that since Bein HaShemashos is a standing suffix, not an issue that's a suffix. I mean, how do you compare that to an issue of a suffix Rabban? That could be where you have shikas lakan. So when in a piano comes to Rabban and it says that the Gemara says that the finger, you don't know, so the Rabban go to Kula. Should we? That's what we start the next segment. Tanur. Now we're coming to a tanur as opposed to a kira, and the Mishnah is even more vague than the Mishnah of Kira, because all the Mishnah deals with is the fuel factor. So tanur she sikua bekasha begavava lo yitain bein mitocho bein yalgavav kupach she sikua bekasha begavava hareze kikirayim begev du beitzim harehu ketanur. This is a fascinating Mishnah. The Mishnah essentially strips everything down to only two of the very many varied elements that we had. The two being the construction of the vehicle of the bishop, kupach and tanur as opposed to kira, and the fuel that you're using. It also deals, but only sort of agav, with the location, on top, inside, and so on. But the main point is to define the relationship of tanur and kupach to kira. And therefore, we're going to ignore everything else, mitztamik v'yaflo, and so on and so forth. That will examine in the Gemara, what are we talking about? Are we talking about guf of v'ketumah? All of that has been left out. Because we're going to examine it in terms of kira. So the first thing, and this comes out very clearly from the last part of the Mishnah, fascinating. You got a kupach. You'll remember that a kupach is similar to a kira, and that it's a stovetop, but it only has one opening. It has a place for one pot, not for two pots. Because of that, it keeps its heat more than a kira does, which has a greater surface area in which the heat could disappear. But still less than a tanur. Remember that the tanur, first of all, is large, thick-walled, and also is built so that it comes up to sort of a point. So if you have a small opening for a large tanur, that keeps much more heat than either the pot or the kupach. You can put your pot on top of a tanur, or you can lower it inside, you know, depending obviously on the pot. So now the Mishnah is saying is an interesting thing. A kupach is a kira if you heated it with kashuv gevovah, but it's a tanur if you heat it with gevovah to beitzim. So in other words, the Mishnah is interrelating now the fuel and the vehicle to show you that there's certain ways in which the two cross over. Because in terms of the shmirah, the heat, putting together the additional heat insulation of a kupach and the heat retention of gefet veitzim, for all intents and purposes, you're dealing with a tanur. On the other hand, recognizing that there's much more heat radiation out of the kupach than there is of a tanur, it's also similar to kira if you use a fuel that doesn't have a lot of heat in it. Okay, so Mamela, we understand that the tanur, what the Mishnah is coming to tell me is, a tanur keeps its heat so well that even if you heated it with kashikavava, which would burn out in a flash, the heat stays inside. You'll notice that temperature is not an issue. The Gemara ignores temperature completely here. We deal with temperature questions only later on when we get to Shailas of Yatzavetus Bone. All we're interested in here is in heat. The technical difference, which is the difference, but to understand it clearly, is that the temperature is a measure of the extent of heat. It doesn't tell you how much heat there is. Let's say you have a tiny pin that's very, very hot. There's not much heat in there, because the total energy in the pin is very small. But if you want to measure now the amount of heat at the tip of the pin, not the amount, the temperature, what you're looking at is basically the extent at which whatever has been affected in heat has been affected. Let's say you have a single molecule that's very hot. You'll never feel it.
Okay.
It could be hotter than the surface of the sun. You'll never feel it, right? Because it's one molecule. So there's very little heat, very high temperature. Temperature is a measurement of the energy of a particular molecule. Heat is the measurement of the total amount of energy in a particular thing. So you could have an enormous amount of heat and it's still cold to the touch because the heat is at such a low temperature. So you've got something the size of a star, but which the heat level, the temperature level of it is room temperature. The amount of heat in that thing is absolutely incredible because you've got something of such enormous mass, which is as hot as room temperature on Earth. That's an awful lot of heat.
Heat is what we call that energy.
Heat is energy. Right? But the measurement of the temperature is a measurement of molecular movement. So Gemara is not interested. Gemara is interested over here in how much heat remains. How much energy is there, exactly. A tanur will keep whatever energy is in there. As far as the temperature of the energy, that's measured in terms of room temperature, in terms of Yad Zoledesbo, in terms of Yad Dichvesbo. There's various levels that we have. Again, they're very vague levels because we don't have thermometers in the Gemara. The Torah, again, speaks to your senses directly, not to your instruments. So, says the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to have to, of course, take a look at this Mishnah and analyze it in terms of all the other issues, the grief of the Ketima and the Tal, that the Mishnah sort of left open. So says the Gemara, Tanur Shisikua. Now, Sober of Yezula Meimar, that when it talks about the difference between putting something on top or something inside of Tanur, and it answers both of them, Rabbi Yosef assumed that the meaning of the Mishnah is, Tocho means you can't put something literally inside. Al Gabab means you can't put a pot on top. But there's no problem of leaving something next to the tanur, because that's neither inside nor on top, right? So Abali smoke shapidami. And Abaye asked him from the continuation of the Mishnah, Kupach, shisikur bekasha begevavah. If you heat it bekasha begevavah, so then it's a kirai. If you heat it begefet ubeitzim, so then it's like a tanur. And then it would be also. But if it would be what? If it would be a kira, then it would be mutter. Now, can you explain this to me? Because, tell me what the case is. Are we talking about putting something al gabav? Because, look, you don't say what you mean when you come to the kupach. You started a Mishnah off saying about inside and on top by the tanur. When you came to the kupach, all you did was compare it to a kira, and you didn't say a word about on top or inside, right? Well, why don't we think about that for a minute? Explain to me what the case is. Ilein al gabav. Are we talking about, I mean, it is so sneaky with the way the Gemara does this, you understand? Because what are we really trying to do? We're trying to figure out what the Mishnah holds, agave, grifa, ketima, bishul, and so on and so forth. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef makes a statement. In order to contradict that statement, we need to analyze the Mishnah in those terms and figure out what's going on. So I ask you, says Abayatim, explain to me what you assumed is the state of affairs in our Mishnah. But I ask you, ilima al-gabav. Okay, let's assume for a moment we're talking about the top of the kira. You're saying it's like a kira. Okay, like a kira, and now it's, yes, mutar. I mean, obviously, you're saying like a tanur is bad. Like a kira is good. And as you're saying, okay, it's mutar. Case being, it's what? On top. Let's assume. All right. What's happening inside the kira? Ostensibly. In other words, you're assuming that it's like a kira that is what? Groove of the ketuma? What's the case? So, if you're saying the mind, ilay mekisha eno groove of the ketuma. Yeah, what? It still has the kash and the gevava. There's no grief of the ketima. Kira keina grufa v'ketuma. Agabav mishori? Are you saying, you know what, that it's mutter? You're telling me now that it's, the Mishnah's Badafka saying that it's mutter to put something on top of a kira? El lovely smoke. The assumption, therefore, I would make is that when you're saying areo kikira, you mean to put it next to it. V'ketoni areo kitanur. And in the other case, when it says that it's like a tanur, when it was the gefet ubeitzim, yeah, same case, I assume. I mean, it's the same case that was mutter for the kira, which was with smoke, then for the tanner is usher. You say, I'm here for tanner, then it's usher. That's how I would read it. Amrav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amrav Rabbi Yochanan, kira shisikua b'gefet uveitzim, mashina leo tavshil, shibishel kol tzorko v'chamin, shukamu kol tzorchanak, the box says we should invert that, because always the bigger kiddush is the tavshil. I feel a bit stomach via fellow. Amar leo, humi rabbanon, Amrav Shmuel bar Yehuda, harav Shmuel, damit abar mit stomach via fellow asur.
I'm like, hey man, otro lit anayada dom rabios or mirjana mishmo, mitzvanek via fellow asur. Ki kamina lecha rabi alfana kamina. I'm going to book my mission, Ravashi, aton, the bakavito, rabishmo, labido, rabishmo. And I'm not the rabi alfana, thank you very much. I'm like, abayal rabios. Marali shot, I'm like, rabi yoda, marshal rabi alfana. I'm like, please, buy me neither rabi yoda. Give me the misukano, I feel the shabbat now, mishar lamevet. I'm talking about leave a lot, my. I'm like, besura marshal. The nagbayet, moidu of the havi, marshal lake barakim. Except for those turnips. With one additional caveat, then it's a mitzvamik varalo. Lapta, dice of a tamre are called mitzvamik varalo. Anyway. You could say, but rather than just the Dhamma Tera, he got him Gezerah, it's Kasha Nazir. And he lay after Gezerah, Kasha Nami Shoki. Kasha. Anyway, my Gezerah. Dhamma Nakhba Shmuel, Omra Yerba Shmuel, Omra Baba, Omra Kanam Rab, Bitchila Yomrim, Omra Bashoka Shabbat, Bishoki Yokab, the Nazir Lo Yokab, what in the Shokhaya? But Misha Rabba Mashkin, the Nazir, the only Shokhayanu, Chazru the Kansu, even on the Shokhaya. By the way, is it Kasha Rimer, Rimer, Kasha Rabila, Rabila? Apparently, my love, Loto Shabbat. No. The Shabbat Abba, and he told him not to do it. By the way, Beitzim etzum akot ukol mitzvam kod v'yafele ninu. Oh yes, don't remember how about Hanina. Pa'am akad mitarak ani v'revi v'mokom echad. Evi lefaninu Beitzim etzum akot ke ozardin v'yachal memihen harpe. We didn't have a raya. But it was Loto Shabbat and Shabbat Abaha. L'maisa, I mean, we end up with the Shabbat Abaha la'alocha, but doesn't say the Gemara. Omer zek omer rabba omer tadoe lo shanu elo sheodan biyado aval hini fana gabi karka asur omer rabba mi tadoe dobe the gami dobe ok omer rabiokun omer rabiokun omer rabiokun afilin yikha gabi karka muta actually plik about rabdim and rishmu bar yehuda tarvayel mishvid rabbi alazav chad amar odan biyado muta gabi karka asur chad amar even in yikha gabi karka nami muta vava chiske mishvid yabayi hadi amet odan biyado muta lo amel elo shidato lahazir aval hini dato lahazir asur mikhla bi agabi karka apa kishidato lahazir asur. He can even just the opposite. I'm a chiski b'shmidi abaya. How the yamel agabi karka asur lo amel shein da'ato lagzir. Ava da'ato lagzir mutar. Mikvah shabodim b'yav ha'apu b'shein da'ato lagzir mutar. Boi Rav Yirmiya, talan b'makel ma'ahu. Hin yicha an agabi mita ma'ahu. Mai. Boi Rav Ashi, pinani mecham ha'mecham ma'ahu. Take. Tano shisikul b'kashu b'gavava, lo yitein bein mitocho bein mi'agabav. Kupak shisikul b'kashu b'gavava, arezek ikirai, b'gefet u b'yitim, aviyo ketanu.
Tanushi Sikua Savrius, the name of Tocho means literally Tocho. Agabab means literally Agabab. Avali Smok Shapardan. Efe Abaya, how about the other case? Kupak Shisikupa Kashi Gababa. Avil Tikirayim, beget of a team. Erika Tanur. Okay, it's also. So now tell me. Kira Shari, Bumaya Skina. Ilay Magabab, Bumar. Ilay Bishaino Gorfakatu. So Kira Kena Gorfakatu, Magabab, Bishari. And a lot of the smoke. Vika Tani, Erika Tanur, Vyasur. Okay, to be continued. That's from Yerushalayim.